from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. The assets and options available for the Mavs to upgrade the team, and is there a particular player that you would want? Also, we got Bruce Bochy coming up in about 20 minutes.
I like this segment, and I would like to say, in a perfect world, I have no clue how to get them. The Mavs are limited with their resources and draft picks, but man, to me, Mikal Bridges in Brooklyn would be so perfect for this team. Their number three guy, like PJ Washington, would be a starter still, but if you had as your wings to go with Luka and Kyrie, if you had Mikal Bridges and PJ Washington along with your two centers, I think that would be, I won't say the perfect team, but I think you have constructed a team that everybody's like, oh crap, they got a great kind of two-way player, a little bit more defensive, doesn't need the ball to be successful. He went to Brooklyn and went from like 15 points in Phoenix as kind of the number four guy there to 26 points a game as the number one. So, you know, it's in him.
And that team was pretty terrible too. Right.
But he's like right around 18, 19 points, but he's been on a team where he's played with Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker. So he knows how to play like kind of on a team that he's not the number one and thrive and be successful. So he wouldn't at 27 years old go, I need 20 points a game. Yeah. He knows how to play great team basketball. He would guard, or at least try to start off guarding the best player on the other team when they're kind of a guard wing situation. I'd love Mikal Bridges, but I have no clue how. I don't even think he's available. That's the thing, is we don't know yet who's really available. The rumors haven't come out yet that we know who's available on the trade market.
And that's another thing. Whenever you say not realistic, is it okay that I immediately think because of your lack of draft assets and salary.
You can trade one draft pick, first round.
Is there a player that everybody is going to wait on for all these things? You know, for a
free agent, you mean?
Yeah, that kind of changes everything. You know how we've had years where LeBron or maybe even Kevin Durant has held the NBA hostage, waiting for them to sign before everybody's going to make moves.
Let me look it up. Is the best Paul George? I mean, LeBron is like a free agent. LeBron, yeah. I mean, maybe.
Like, we don't think he's going to leave, right?
I don't think so.
Paul George's player option, just like LeBron. So those, I feel like those, and Tyrese Maxey's restricted. So yeah, I'm just kind of curious.
He's going to get maxed out.
Harden or DeRozan.
I don't think those guys are
stopped down. Yeah. Siakam just signed his max. And so to your point, I'm thinking about, you know, Klay Thompson, James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, the unrestricted, those don't feel like market stoppers or league stoppers like the other people that you were bringing up.
Yeah, so I wonder if things will move a lot faster because of it, and if those things start to happen in a more timely manner, which would be great because NBA had a surge, especially around here, for sure. So I guess DeRozan. Yeah, give me DeRozan, Kevin.
I think DeRozan would be a great fit on this team.
I am losing the rules now. I'm just confused because they've changed them recently on when you're over the cap, how you can trade for a free agent. I think they've made it really tough to do because DeRozan being a free agent, I think that it becomes very tough, but I'm not 100% sure. I just think they've made more rules to make it tougher when you're like the Mavericks over the cap number and then even over a threshold where Derek Jones Jr. becomes kind of impossible to sign unless you make some moves to create a full mid-level exception. Is I don't know if you – I'd like DeRozan too, but then I wonder this. Do the Mavericks not want him because he doesn't shoot three-pointers?
I was about to ask that.
He's a mid-range king.
He's not enough of a three-point shooter to do that, but does that then lighten the load for Kyrie to be a mid-range driver kind of guy? And but I think that when Kyrie's at his best, he's doing all three, and that's where you're like, okay, you don't want to take that away from him.
And the assets really are limited because I'm going to run through a couple of things for you guys, and this is where – the NBA salary cap is, man, if you think the NFL is confusing, the NBA is pretty damn confusing as well. The Mavericks have a $4.0 million and a $4.9 million trade exception. However, you can't use those exceptions if they take you past the first apron, and the Mavericks are $3.6 million below the first apron salary cap. And so
those are useless.
Yeah. You have to be already past the first apron.
Unless you get rid of some salary.
Exactly.
Got you.
Exactly. And so, like, while you look at that as a potential asset, you're like, not really, unless you move some money. And what's the money you want to move? Because I understand, like, in terms of trades and everything, but I was just focusing on guaranteed and non-guaranteed. Because I don't think they want to move off either one of these. Exum's contract becomes guaranteed on June 29th for $3.1 million. And Hardy's becomes guaranteed for $2 million the next day. Do you think I'm safe in assuming, especially at those prices, both of those players will be back?
Yes.
Okay. So, because that's the easiest thing right there. It's like, oh, you don't bring one of them back. You don't bring both of them back. And then you could theoretically use both of your trade exceptions. Well, then that's not what you want to do. And so those trade exceptions, until you move something out, are really not actually there for you or not there for you at that level. Mike brought up, you realistically can only trade one first round draft pick. And that's kind of your ammunition. And that's why, Mike, and correct me if I'm wrong, the names of Hardy, Prosper, Green have come up because if you're like, this is all I have.
And they can be valued kind of like first round picks because of their use.
Exactly, exactly. And so if you're like, hey, I'm looking to unload Tim Hardaway Jr. And you're like, well, why would we do that? Oh, it's an expiring contract. What else you got? And then that's where you wonder if, like, what the kickers will be, or if they'll go all out and say you can get a first round pick and Hardy and Green, however you construct it, because you have a guy that we just really, really want. I know you'd have to even out the money and everything because the Mavericks are like right up against the luxury tax.
Did Malik Monk take himself out of this category because he's going to be too expensive after what looks like a really great year from him?
I would like to have him. Do you have him up right now?
Yeah.
How tall is he?
6'3", 200 pounds.
That's the only thing that I don't feel like works because of the lack of height with Kyrie. Like, putting both those guys on the court at the same time, you can. I'm not saying you can.
And Nico specifically went and got length this year, aside from Kyrie.
And Monk, I don't want to say he's a good defensive player, but he gives good effort, I feel like, a lot defensively, and he's a great scorer. I feel like I need that score to be like 6'6".
I gotcha. Like a Brandon Ingram.
Well, I was just looking up this person. He's a free agent.
You know, I'd love Brandon Ingram.
If we can make that happen, hell yeah.
And the Pelicans might be open to kind of moving some of what they're doing around, but then you start getting into how do you match the salary.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Also, with a team like, let's say, a Houston, a New Orleans, they're outside in the Western Conference kind of looking in at the four teams we mentioned earlier in the show. Denver, Dallas, Minnesota, Oklahoma City. That seems to be the cream of the crop in the Western Conference. And then the other teams are kind of looking, how do we compete with those teams? Do you think, like, in New Orleans, or if you're trying to work a deal with Houston or something, go, how much better do we want to make the team we're trying to catch?
Yeah, that's absolutely in that area. But when it comes to their own economics and what they are having to deal with, it makes they're trying to figure their situation out first.
My only question was going to be, are they then close enough to have such considerations. That's what I'm wondering, if they're so far back that they're like, we don't need to worry about them right now. Like, we need to worry about bringing in better assets as much as we possibly can. Just curious about that. I've seen this name pop up multiple times, and obviously he was just involved in a trade. OG Anunoby is somebody that has come up time and again.
He's off the market, but in a perfect world, right? New York went all in on him.
Yes, they did. And so they're not moving off of him, but multiple people brought him up. So I did just want to say,
type of fit player
that will happen.
The name that we keep seeing, Kevin, and I think Mike shut it down. I think most people agree that it should be shut down, is Klay Thompson.
His career.
Go chase him is what I keep seeing.
He wants a 3-year deal too, and I don't even know if he has a year left.
And like it's not going to be for easy money.
He is not Klay Thompson anymore either.
Okay, let me ask you something then. Let's just say he wants to say in your face, Warriors, I still got it or whatever. Would you do the tax mid-level exception?
For 1 year, yes.
But what if he was like, I want it over 3 years?
It's not the end of the world if you're saying, are you saying like the tax mid-level at like 11 million?
No. The tax mid-level exception here is 5.2. For the Mavericks. So
3 for 15 approximately. Yeah.
If he was willing to be that cheap, why would he leave Golden State?
I'd be mad at them.
Sometimes I think it's an ego thing, right? Like I'm with you for sure. Wouldn't you rather just stay?
Wouldn't he go to the Lakers because of his father and where he grew up?
That is probably a good point. My point is, it would have to be pretty low. He doesn't bring it like that defensively. Obviously you saw his numbers start to fall from a shooting perspective. He's had a hell of a career.
Yeah, Hall of Famer.
And it's all contextualized, right? Because if you are somehow magically getting him for 3 for 15, what he does is well above that level.
I would agree with
that. But the problem is, the full expectation is, the reason why he would not continue with the Warriors is because he still values himself at a place the Warriors aren't willing to pay.
Yeah.
And that, honestly, his game probably does not necessarily justify for a lot of other places.
You said perfect fit, and I don't think this is the perfect fit, but he would definitely take over Tim Hardaway Jr.'s spot in would be Buddy Hield.
Ah, there it is!
Who lives here. He lives in North Dallas.
Yeah.
But
I was just about to bring him up. That's why I was excited.
He's a free agent. He averaged in his career, he's 31, so he's still a good player. He's averaged 15.5 points for his career at 40% three-point shooting.
Oh.
But he's 6'4" and not a great defensive player.
Not a great anything else,
so he'd be
your
sixth man coming off the bench for points. The other thing, too, is when I watch him, and Reggie, maybe you have more of a scouting report than I do on him, I feel like he's not much of his own shot creator. He's more of a catch and shoot guy.
Is that terrible for this team, though?
Which is fine if Luka can find you and you can make him.
In a perfect world, I want this guy to be able to dribble.
Okay.
All right. It's not perfect. So which do you want? The ability to knock down threes more? Where's that balance?
Right. And I think this is where Nico has to look and go, I probably can't get the perfect play. I probably can't get, to me, Mikal Bridges would be like a perfect player that can do a lot. Do you want more of a defensive guy? Like, I'll give you another person who I don't know how available he is. Would you rather have Buddy Hield, who's a much better shooter than Dorian Finney-Smith, but Dorian Finney-Smith is the 6'8", 6'7", more defensive guy who can knock down an open three, but he can't dribble and pass at all?
Yeah. I feel like there were times where just making shots just went empty.
And Dorian Finney-Smith is not a good three-point shooter. Yeah, he's an open three-point shooter, but not one. Like, Buddy Hield can get hot and make 6 or 7 three-pointers in a game and be an on-your-face guy.
He's 22nd in history with three-pointers made, I believe, now. And he could be top 15 by the end of this year.
Wow.
So, like, that's one of the – like, I think there's kind of that close. So, again – you're lacking a little length. You're lacking some defense, but you have a guy that is a knockdown 3-point.
We got to go to break here, but you didn't name your guy Caruso, but he's not available.
He's not gettable. Look, if you because supposedly there's rumblings that in this draft, Chicago got offered a top 10 pick for Caruso. And they were like, no dice. But all right, Alex Caruso would be an amazing fit here. He would fit the exact defensive mentality that you want. I just don't think that's doable. We talked about off air Gary Trent Jr. He's about to get paid. Yeah. So I don't think that's going to be a viable option either. And that's the trouble. We'll learn more in the next few weeks.
Is
and is not more likely to be available. And the one good thing, going back to one of our segments from a couple hours ago, I think the Mavericks have shown creativity to be able to pull a lot of this stuff off. So as we hear more and more about, it looks like this person's available, which you probably will starting next week, right?
Yeah, and we'll find out how great of a run this was that maybe agents are telling their clients, hey, did you see what Derrick Jones Jr. just did to his career?
And he's about to get paid.
Go to Dallas.
If you want to, if Derrick Jones Jr. is not coming back, which he's probably not, you want to root for him to get a hell of a contract, right? You want to root for him to get his 4 for $60 or whatever the case might be. So you can be like, see, 1 year Luka. Look what happened. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here. On your home of the Rangers, 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's my favorite part of that whole clip. Like, obviously, you can hear the fans going crazy, but the description of that looks like it must have been an optical illusion to some people here. I love it, love it, love it. I'm just more fascinated by, obviously, everyone understands, knows the greatness of Willie Mays. I'm fascinated by modern statistics being used to make the argument that he might be the best of all time. Right now on the line, by the way, I got to tell you, if you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach out for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers at the original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold. We bring to you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. How's it going?
We're doing okay. We're doing okay. I know you said something about it last night, but in case anybody missed it, we've been obviously talking a whole lot about Willie Mays. I was hoping you could give our listeners some insight into just how great he was and what he meant specifically to you.
Yeah, well, as I said last night, you know, being in this game allows you to meet some really special people. And then this guy, I mean, Ted Williams, he had a great line. He said, All-Star game was made up for Willie Mays. I mean, this guy could be the greatest player of all time. But, you know, for me to have 13 years with him, pretty much every day, too. I'm talking about spring training. During the season, he had a little office by my office. And just loved talking to the man. I still remember the first day I went up to San Francisco to manage. He brought me a dozen baseballs. And he said, look, just take these. I'm sure you have some friends that may want some of these. And I know you're not going to want to bother me. And I'll bring you more. But, you know, this is start you out. So this, I was just stunned by that move. And but to have him around just talking baseball, we had a Hall of Fame spring training meeting every year with he and Orlando Cepeda, Gaylord Perry, and Willie McCovey. But he would dominate the conversation. And he was so good, you know, as far as helping the players, you know, just about playing the game and even spring training. He'd get on the guys that would come out after 3-4 innings. He'd go, man, these people came out to see you play. You stay out there and play for them. That's just who he was. And so sad day yesterday, but what a great life he had. And, you know, he's going down as one of the greatest players of all time.
Well, Boach, in the offseason, I read his book that recently came out, 24, and he had a great relationship with Leo DeRocher, his manager, for a long time. And at one point, he didn't want to play in a spring training game, but Leo knew that, like, all these people came out to see you, Willie, and so he made a deal with Willie. He's like, look, if you hit a home run, I'll take you out of the game. He's like, okay, deal. And then went out and hit a home run in the first inning. He's like, am I good? Can I have the rest of the day off? He's like, hey, can you just give me like 3 or 4 more innings? Because I'm going to get it. I'm going to just deal with it if you don't play at least, you know, 4 or 5 innings today. And so have you ever made a deal with a player in spring training? I know spring training is very different now of like, can you just give me this today? You know, or maybe during a regular season game, like the way Leo had to do with Willie one day.
Oh, yeah, I've done that a few times, you know, trade-offs. You know, we used to, you know, back when we were in Yuma, we'd have to go to Tucson and Phoenix to play. So we had guys, you know, they would come up with a tight hamstring or whatever. So before I'd hear that, I'd say, listen, I got to split this up. Just give me this day here, and you know, we'll take this day, whatever. And you know, you can't really give them a choice because you're really supposed to have 4 regulars out there, and I try to honor that. And I tell you why, because I went to high school in Florida, and I would go to spring training games hoping, you know, my guys were playing. Well, back then, chances are they were playing, and they played more, you know, than what they do today as far as the length of the game. So it meant a lot to me, you know, when they played. And I would tell the players about, you know, my time as a kid and what it means to these fans. And so, you know, I think if you explain it, they don't come up with these little nagging injuries. Now, I will tell you a quick story about Tony Gwynn. And Tony, you know, he had a bad knee that he would have to, you know, ice it all the time. But Tony would never skip a trip to Tucson. I said, Tony, I need you staying back. We get you covered with, you know, some other regulars. He goes, no. I know there's some kids. We only go there twice. They're just hoping that, you know, I come and play, and I'm going. He would go every trip. Now, when Tony would go, I wouldn't have to have 4 regulars. That's all they cared about. Tony made that trip. So, you know, it kept the other guys back. But, you know, I would tell him, trust me, I'd stay back, but he would insist on going, and he did every trip.
Boach, when I was a kid, when I was in elementary school, every time we got a chance to go to the library, I would always get Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle's books. Those were the ones that I wanted to read. I want to be attached to. I want to know more about them. I was always kind of curious from your perspective when you were growing up and watching the game. Who were the players that you were fascinated by and wanted to know more about?
Well, Ted Williams was really my guy, I guess. And later on, you know, Johnny Bench, because I was a catcher, but I was just fascinated by this man, and I had a chance to spend quite a bit of time with him back when I was in San Diego, because he was born there, and our owner, John Moores, brought him back to San Diego to have him part of the club, and so he came back quite a few times, and you know, with similar passions, fishing, for example. I mean, he just drilled me on fishing, too. Fly fishing, about tying flies. I mean, he was so far ahead of me on the fishing. I was just using a conventional rod, but he loved to talk about it. Managing, he managed. You know, when I lived outside of D.C., he was managing the Senators before they came here to Texas. So, but just his life, I mean, this guy was... Yeah, I mean, he was in two wars. I mean, just incredible career. He was a fighter pilot, and what he did on the field. So his bats, I mean, his books is My Turn at Bat and The Science of Hitting. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've read them as a kid. And so he was the guy I really tried to find out more and more about.
How much better have you gotten at fishing since then to try to catch up to that?
Well, I will say I did get into fly fishing, so you know, for a while there, so I did take that up, and my deal was I had to catch a tarpon on the fly and a snook, and that's what he would talk about. If you ever catch a snook on a fly, then you'll have the greatest experience you've ever had, and so I did do that.
So, Boach, obviously, my dad played in the major leagues. I care a lot about baseball history and got to know a lot of his teammates and his friends. And I remember Mike Hargrove being one of the first managers I got to meet in Cleveland, and he talked about how important it was for us players to know about the history of the game. Do you feel like today that it's important to the players today? I know everybody's an individual, to know about the history of the game.
Yeah, it does really shock me sometimes that some players that, the younger players don't know. Now, some are really into it. Yeah, Josh Young, I mean, oh my goodness, he's between the cards he collects and, his knowledge of, the history of the game. And a lot of these guys, Marcus, trust me, they know so much about the history of the game. But there's some guys that, that's just not their deal. And but I'm stunned when, for example, I had a coach, Alan Trammell, and we had a couple of young guys that didn't know who Alan Trammell was. I said, are you kidding me? So I'd make them, go home and study up on them and tell me more about them. And some guys, have a huge interest in it. Some just play the game and they're good with that.
Now, okay, might I make a suggestion? Team bonding experience, trivia, baseball trivia night. Me, Mike, and Kevin will put it together for you, and we'll take care of it, and we'll find out who the guy is that knows the most about baseball history.
Yeah. Just put that together.
All right, deal.
All right. I'm in on this. Now, in terms of the team, and this could be about last night, this could be about the season as a whole, it definitely feels like there has been a defensive dip from last year. Do you think that is a fair assessment? And if so, what's led to this?
I'm sorry, I missed the first part. It broke up on me.
Do you think that there has been a defensive dip in this Rangers team compared to last year? And if that's the case, why do you suppose that is?
A defensive what?
Dip, like a drop.
Defensive. Now, what? I mean, last night you can look at that game, but I think overall, I think our defense has been pretty good. I do. You look at, what Jonah's doing behind the plate. I know he's not having the offensive year that he had last year, but defensively, those numbers are pretty good. But I think you look at what Schmitty's done defensively. Marcus has just played incredible second base. Only I just think he's moving better than ever in some of the plays he's making. I think Nate, who won the Gold Glove, he's not quite having the year he had last year defensively. But I think overall, we haven't been too sloppy. Yeah, we've had our games, but for the most part, it's been pretty good. Our again, our biggest issue is just getting the runs that we got last year.
Well, and one of the runs that came last night was Wyatt Langford's first over-the-fence home run. Did you, was that like feeling like that was coming along pretty soon? And when it did it feel like it kind of cracked something open for him?
Yeah, I mean, you can see with the swings he's been taking in the games. He's really getting off some, you know, good aggressive swings. So, no, it's just a matter of time. And I'm sure it's still that had to be huge for him to get that, to get that off his off his mind, because it's, you know, it's been talking about a little bit, but he's, you know, by he's going to hit his home runs. So it's just case of him just swinging the way he is. I don't want him to try to hit home runs, but just get good swings off, and they're going to come. It's hard enough to hit major league pitching, but to try to hit home runs, I mean, that's such a tough deal. And I think it's even more difficult in today's game than ever.
Well, Boach, I know you get a lot of questions about the injuries. I'm just going to ask about these two guys because, honestly, when you do the thing in the dugout, I can't hear you because of the music. So then I have to ask other people what you said. But when it comes to Josh Jung, I know he's close. And then what I haven't heard in the last few days is an update possibly on Evan Carter's back.
Yeah, Evan is still, you know, not doing a whole lot as far as baseball activities. We have to slow play him. So he's a little ways away. Josh Jung played last night. Be honest, he's a little rusty. He's not, you know, it's going to take some at-bats for him. I can't tell you how many. We'll see how he does this week. He's in Sacramento right now. So he missed a lot of time. And it's going to take a few at-bats to get his timing in. I think last night, showed that, but it's just going to get better and better, you know, with more bats here.
Well, we appreciate your thoughts on the team, and thank you very much for reminiscing with us as well about Willie Mays. We really appreciate it, sir.
Of course. And, sad day. Man, I'm just grateful, for the time I had with him. I know how lucky I am, trust me, to be with a guy, like Willie Mays, who could go down, he's going to be right at the top as far as greatest players ever play this game.
Absolutely.
A quick story I got to tell you, though. I did have Willie with Mays. I did have him chase me, and I told him the story.
What?
When I was young, I skipped school occasionally, and I went down to Barrel Beach where the Dodgers spring train. I usually went to Coco to watch Astros, but I go down to Barrel Beach, and they had a state-of-the-art spring training back then. And they had a grass hill knoll with palm trees coming up. They didn't have a fence. And so we would go down there, and we'd hang down the left field line, and when they would pull the ball foul, we'd run down the hill and grab the ball and leave. Willie was out left field. He was with the Mets at the time. And he says, "Hey, guys," and he started chasing us a little bit. He didn't go far, but, just to scare us off. And then they wouldn't have caught us because there's a golf course and some woods there we can run up to. But that's how we got our baseballs to hit with. So, I said, "Well, I got to tell you a story." He didn't remember it, of course. But I said, "You actually chased me one time down in Vero Beach when we were, sneaking down, stealing some baseballs." He laughed. He said, "Oh, I would have been right there with you." So it's pretty cool that, Willie chased us.
That's awesome. That is amazing. Thank you very much for sharing that story, and we will catch up with you again next week, good sir.
All right, guys. All right, good talking with you. I'll talk to you.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. I do have some news for you. Transpired during the break, during that interview. The Dallas Stars are trading Ty Dellandrea to the San Jose Sharks. So say goodbye to him.
For a fourth round pick?
We got nothing?
A future fourth round
2025.
Sorry, I had to reread it because at first I thought it said an exchange of fourth round picks, and I was like, hold on.
Yeah.
What? But yes, we got a 2025 fourth round pick for him.
Is that Is that good?
Heck yeah.
Okay, hold on.
There you go.
No, I don't know like the value of fourth round picks in hockey.
We got Tony Pollard in the fourth round.
What have we ever gotten for anything other than like, have we ever picked up any good players Dak for like Prescott. A fifth round?
Dak Prescott.
That's the Cowboys, not the Stars.
I will have to get back to you.
I think Jamie Benn, wasn't Jamie Benn like a later round pick or something?
Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, Mike Madonna was in the draft.
He was the number one pick.
Overall?
Yes.
1-1?
Yes.
And he's American? Do Americans get picked 1-1 much?
I mean, clearly. Well,
wait, do you draft Russians and people over there, or do they? Is it like baseball?
We will have to, I guess, investigate that, maybe. Maybe not.
I don't know. It's a good question, right? Like, you don't draft. Leody Tavares isn't in the draft.
Well, we could be in a lot of trouble right now, Corey, because the time for Mike likes it. So if he continues this conversation, there's pretty much nothing we can
do. It's just him asking questions, and we're like, we don't know the answer to your questions, Mike.
Okay, so we avoided a lot of specific questions to Bruce Bochy about last night's game. We decided to go down a little bit of a different path. Right?
I appreciate that he's optimistic about the defense. I guess perhaps I've been less optimistic about the defense. Maybe Corey Seager comes to mind as somebody that I've been less optimistic about. Nate Lowe. I know he won the Gold Glove last year. I just don't feel like this has been a good defensive season for him.
Well, and look, there's a couple pitches that weren't made in key situations. So you could, if you wanted to just look at the pitching, you could. But last night it was the defense. And I'm going to break it down here. Michael Lorenzen is a great defensive pitcher. In fact, I think he should be considered for the Gold Glove in the American League for pitching. But here's the deal. I was talking to Eric Nadell about this. And it's really tough now with pitchers and defense because back in the day, pitchers had to get off the mound and defend bunts. There was a lot of different plays that a pitcher would have to make. In today's game, there's no bunting for the most part. So a pitcher never really shows his athleticism off the mound, or at least it's rare that they do. And so pitchers were involved more defensively, let's just say back in the day. Now they're not involved as much. But Michael Lorenzen is a premium athlete on the mound. And he gets a ground ball. A one-hopper to Nate Lowe, and it pops out of his glove.
Yeah.
And so he picks the ball up, and you're able to get a runner out at first base. Run scores on the play. It would have been a double play, and it would have been inning over, no run scored. So one of the runs was given up on a non-error, because when you get an out on a double play, there's no error. You can't give an error, which that'll never change, but I kind of like it was an error. Nate Lowe made an error. There was going to be an easy double. I think it would have been an easy double play, because we found out later in the game maybe the throw would have been a little bit more challenging than I think it would have been. But then Jose Leclerc comes in later in the game. It is 6-3 at this point. Should have been 6-2 if you're playing good defense, but it's 6-3. And David Robertson comes in and gets a one-hop ground ball right to second base. It goes over his head right to Corey Seager. And the bases are loaded with one out, and it's Francisco Lindor. Francisco Lindor is out by 10 steps. I'm not exaggerating. Literally out by 10 steps at first base if Corey Seager just throws the ball to first. And I deal with this with my son, but I deal with this a lot with kids. And when I see high school kids or younger, it's so tough to lob the ball where you want it to go. It's so much easier to throw the ball. Lobbing the ball, one, is tough to throw accurately. Two, it is so tough to catch a lobbed ball when you're used to people throwing the ball. I don't know if you saw this at Bryan Adams, Corey, but when somebody lobbed the ball to you and it was a little bit low or a little bit offline, you're like, dude, just throw it. I can catch. It's not the easiest thing in the world to catch the lob ball that is offline. Or when it bounces, it's a little bit harder to read the hop when it's lobbed over than when it's thrown.
Because you're practicing. Most of the time, you're practicing on going full speed.
So Corey Seager lobs the ball to first. Nate Lowe then is stretched too soon. So when the throw is lobbed and offline, Nate Lowe kind of falls trying to get to it. He can't replace his step to try to get to it. And another run scores.
Yeah.
So now it's 6-4. So instead of 6-2, it's 6-4. And then, hey, the Mets get a couple of ground balls. They were base hits. There's nothing you can do about. You can't guide the ground ball to your infield. Sometimes a team gets lucky. Sometimes the Rangers get lucky and you hit a ground ball. Marcus Semien in the game hit a line drive, and Lindor made a really nice play on the line drive. The next play was Corey Seager hits a, I'm going to guess, an 85-mile-an-hour ground ball. It might have been a little bit harder than that, but it's just a ground ball to shortstop. But the ground ball was where they weren't, and it's an RBI base hit. Nobody cares how hard it was hit when it's our team. When it's the other team, you're like, dude, how unlucky are we going to get? Well, yeah. Like the Rangers fall into bad luck with Marcus Semien hitting a line drive right to the shortstop, but then the next hitter hits a ground ball and it's ends up being an RBI hit. Well, the Mets could look at it and go, how unlucky are we that we make that pitch on Corey Seager? He hits a ground ball to shortstop, but we don't have anybody there, and it ends up being an RBI. But the Rangers make it 6-4, and then Kirby Yates has to come in and close out the game. But unfortunately, there's another error on a catcher's interference.
Yeah.
So Pete Alonso, it's a tie game at this point because David Robertson did after the double play wasn't made. And then there's a couple ground balls. Francisco Alvarez, their young catcher, hits a double in the gap on a 3-2 situation. So Starling Marte scores really easily from first base on it because he's off with the pitch on a 3-2, two-out situation. So then you have another situation where, hey, you don't want Pete Alonso getting up if you can avoid it. There's one out, runner on first, and then Jonah Heim reaches out to catch a little bit of a high and in fastball. But it was a swingable pitch because JD Martinez swings at the pitch. But E2, and now you have first and second with Pete Alonso, arguably their best hitter, by far their best power hitter, but arguably their best hitter, and he hits a double down the line, and now you lose the game. But if you look at losing the game, you had two double plays that weren't turned, that weren't considered errors, but they were errors. And then you had a mistake by reaching out to catch a ball. It's tough. I've never been a catcher, but I'm sure that's a tough situation. Jonah's just trying to catch the ball, but he reaches out too far and causes a catcher's interference, which then gives Pete Alonso the ability to hit with first and second with one out, and you have to challenge him there. You don't want to load the bases. Not that you're throwing a bad pitch, but the Rangers lost yesterday based off of defense, which is tough. This is a tough thing when you're hitting. When you're hitting for 6 weeks has been the worst in baseball, and then it provides six runs, and then your defense falters, and a couple of pitches in big situations weren't made, but those big situations were caused by the defense not playing well. It's tough right now. That was heartbreaking being at the game, that you feel like when you score six, you are undefeated. That's the first loss that the Rangers have had. That's how good the pitching has been. If the Rangers just score six, they were perfect. Last night was the first time they scored six runs and didn't win.
But that shows us that we can score six runs. And Kevin, when your kid has an A in one class, now you know that he can get A's.
All the classes.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go back to Bruce Bochy. I figured this, but I didn't know what the Rangers were going to do here, because the Rangers have kind of, over the last year or so, been like, he's healthy, just put him in. But Josh Jung had no spring training because of calf injury. And I shouldn't say no spring training, very little spring training because of a calf injury. And then he immediately got hurt, so he hasn't played baseball much at all this year. And I think Bochy just gave me a little bit of inside information, and us too, obviously, because I thought, dude, they might just call up on Friday Josh Jung and just be like, we offensively, we're just struggling so much, just call him up. Let him rehab here. But it sounded like Boch is like, hey, we need to give him a little bit of spring training here, a little bit of time to actually be an effective major league player. Because if he comes here, he's supposed to be the savior of the season. At this point, he's been built up way too much to be the savior of the season, in my opinion.
I agree.
If he comes up and in 10 games gets one hit, because he hasn't had any time to practice hitting, then what do we do with the savior? Like, I don't know, last year, Evan Carter was the little savior, and in a way, he kind of did.
Yeah.
But I think Josh Jung, too much has been put on his plate at this point, and so Bochy let us know, like, look, I think this is the right decision. My opinion, right decision, if the Rangers make this decision, which sounds like they are making this decision, let's let Josh Jung get better. Let's let him get, one, he's healthy enough to play baseball, but let's give him the, I don't know, let's just say 25 to 30 at bats in AAA that he needs?
I mean, well, seeing what Corey Seager went through early this year too, yeah, after having, you know, his offseason surgery, I wonder if he's a little more comfortable doing that. Bochy, that is, saying, hey, yeah, let's temper our expectation on
him. I'm sure there's a little bit of panic right now from the Rangers, like front office.
They're 10 games back.
That they're just like, dude, and I think 7.5 of the last wild card spot.
Ugh.
So, I mean, even if you're like, okay, but it's kind of, in a way, I don't say this like emphatically yet, but it looks like it might be a little bit of division or bust.
I could see that.
With the way that this division is, the division might be way more gettable than putting together the record to get the last wild card spot when you look at how the East and the Central is playing. We're in, by far, there's no argument here, factually, by far the worst division in the American League. It's not close. But the Rangers are going to have to turn it around, because remember last year Chris Young had the big meeting?
Yes.
Dayton Moore let us know on a podcast about this. There was a meeting at the All-Star break, and he got everybody together, the coaching staff and kind of the scouts that definitely mattered in what they were going to do, and said, do you believe we can win it all? And when the answer was yes, I don't know if it was a consensus, but when enough of the answer was yes over no, he said, then I don't want to hear anybody say you can't trade this player, because I'm going all in.
A real version of it, all in.
Yeah. I'm trading for Max Scherzer. I'm trading for Jordan Montgomery. I'm trading for a couple of relievers. I am going all in. And if I go too far all in, I don't want to hear it from you guys, because I'm going to trust what this meeting was. This is a do or die situation for this team, and I'm going to go all in and see if we can get it done. And
yeah,
it worked out. A lot of times it doesn't work out that perfectly, but it did work out. And who would have ever thought when you traded for Max Scherzer and Jordan Montgomery, Montgomery would be the starter really did the work that you needed to win a championship in the trade situation. So you're getting to the point, you're getting closer and closer to that meeting, where if you don't turn it around,
yeah,
then the meeting might be, I'm just throwing it out as the meeting might have to be, guys,
do we trade
our free agents to be, and do we look at now 2025 or 2026 as more of a gettable year, and we kind of, in a way,
yeah,
give up on 2024. Today's not the day to give up on 2024, and maybe July 1st isn't the day, but you get to the All-Star game, and you have that big meeting with your coaching staff and your scouts, and if you're 14 games back of the division and 10 games back of the wild card, now you have to have real discussions on the other situation, which I'm really hoping we don't get to that.
Oh, and I guess I got to ask the question of, is Ray Davis, express that opinion to Michael, to Chris Young, not hey, Michael Young, or is it Chris
or
Young
to Mike,
is sitting there
I'll
going
talk to him today.
I'm always curious on Chris Young if he's just like, no, I'm going this way, and you can't even send me another way.
I think he lives in reality.
Okay,
I do think that Chris Young lives in reality, and right now it's too early to go, we need
reality
to sell, and they're not good enough, I think, to buy today either, if that makes sense. If something presented itself, he might be like, I don't know if I really want to go that far in on buying right now with how we're playing. So he's kind of probably in a holding pattern. But I do think Chris Young will, at the All-Star break, I think he'll live in the reality of where the team is. We don't know where they'll be, but I think if they're 12 to 14 games out of the division and another 10 or so games out of the last wild card spot, I do think he would live in the reality of, gosh, okay, I don't want to, but maybe I need to take phone calls on the selling aspect of it. Hopefully they are buyers.
For the KNC masterpiece.
The team has to prove it, right?
Yes, agreed. Right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Oh my gosh, Kevin.
You got stuff?
The best and worst rally chants in the world, based on your Texas A&M guys. Ooh. Next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.